Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and write to you. Just call for super chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Alrighty, let me go ahead and get another sound check. We had, I knew I lost sound and I was out in La La Land for a little bit. Let's try this again. Sound check. There we go. It's about a 20-second delay from live. Okay, sound is back according to Poet Life. And let's see what we got. Testing 1, 2, 3. Carly says it's back. Yay, got down now from Lynette. And Carly and Poet's Wife and Thompson might to refresh. Don't have anything on her end yet, but we got three there who has sounded picking up a little bit. Sounds loud and clear for our talk. Sound is back from East Dallas. Dave in the chat room. Okay, I'm going to try it here for just a little bit, and y'all keep me posted. I don't know what happened with the other, but it just wouldn't play that of the commercial, so we'll definitely try it again. Again, you can find all their products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. critter-cages.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today, and I apologize about the technical issues, but I think we finally got them worked out here. As many of you longtime listeners know, we have about four different backups that we can do to try to get the sound quality appropriate so you can stay with us, not get frustrated and leave, and tune in and enjoy the education we try to share on this radio show. So I think we finally got it all taken care of. So just give me a sound check, one final sound check in the chat room, if you will, and we will continue with the radio show. So again, thank you very much for tuning in today. We appreciate it. No show yesterday. We ended up on the road yesterday as well. It's our busy season, if you didn't know, and the next 3-4 weeks are going to be quite crazy. We did leave out the Thursday before Easter weekend, and that was a personal trip. We went down to Savannah, Georgia to visit Jen's part of the family for Easter and let them see our new arrival, our new chick, Lily Ann. And then we, from there, we thought, you know, we're already more than halfway to Florida, where we'd like to go to see my part of the family. And so we decided to head on down there towards Ormond Beach, and we had, of course, the Chicken Whisperer Mobile RV connected. And we went down there and spent some great time with some family down there, had a little bit of enjoyable family time as well. As you know, we did broadcast as much as possible while we were on this particular trip. A lot of times we try to take some family time and not broadcast specifically, maybe three times a year, spring break, the break maybe for Thanksgiving and one for Christmas. And other than that, we try to broadcast the show as much as possible. In fact, I think maybe this week we'll hit episode 800 here as we enter our fifth year of broadcasting. So we're back. We got in late last night from that road trip. And we're scurrying around trying to get everything done as fast and as efficient as possible, maintaining the RV and the car. Got to go get the oil change, tires rotated, tires balanced. It's time for that. We spend so much time on the road. I'm a firm believer of preventative maintenance. Got to get the bearings packed on the travel trailer because we're putting a lot of miles on that the next month. We'll be heading out on Thursday. Yep, we'll be here for 2 days, getting everything kind of turned over, if you will, and then we are heading back out on Thursday. We're heading to Moulton, Alabama, and we will actually heading up to the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival in Moulton. And it is an awesome event. If you have not attended, I would love to invite you to do so. It's really a 2.5-day event. They start on Friday afternoon. That's coming up this Friday they'll start. Events all day Saturday and events all day Sunday. It's absolutely awesome. Over 25,000 people attend this event. Yeah, you heard that right. Over 25,000 people attend. There's 20 bands on 3 different stages all at the same time. It is absolutely awesome throughout the day. Friday night, I think the big band that's coming in is Shenandoah. You country folks probably remember them. They had a lot of big hits in the 80s and 90s. And I don't even know if they're still out there playing. I don't want to say playing competitively, but professionally. And but Shenandoah, I think, is one of the big names that's going to be there Friday night for the kickoff of the event. Really looking forward to that. It is in Moulton, Alabama, Carly. Moulton, which is in the north center part of Alabama, and that is this Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, and all day Saturday. All day Sunday. 25,000 bands. 20 bands. 20 different bands on 3 different stages throughout all 3 days. There's an American Poultry Association, American Bantam Association sanctioned poultry show that takes place all 3 days. In fact, this morning I got off the phone with the director of the ABA youth program and talked with her a little bit. She's going to be there. We're going to hook up while we're there and talk a little bit. And so she's going to be there. Dolores is going to be there, of course, during the poultry show. So you got the poultry show going on. They have vendors there, of course, regarding poultry. They'll have a sales tent regarding poultry. There's also all types of food vendors. So if you like the fair type food, fried butter, fried Oreos, fried chicken, the turkey legs, the funnel cakes, you name it, they're going to have it there. It's absolutely awesome. Tons of food vendors, tons of games, tons of contests, chicken contest, crowing contest, egg catch contest, tons and tons of contests that they'll have throughout the weekend. Regarding all related to chickens, there's a fun ride, a Harley-Davidson ride. There's also a big section or an area called Down on the Farm where they have a lot of vendors with homemade vittles, homemade crafts, learning things. I'll have like a woodworker there. There's going to have a ironworks there, the whole nine yards in that area called Down on the Farm. And that's where we will be. Last year we were under the Academy Sports tent. And it was also sponsored by Tractor Supply. I believe we'll be there as well. And if you're wondering, my contribution to this event is that on Saturday and Sunday, both days, I will offer 4 30-minute educational segments on getting started with backyard poultry. So, for example, on Friday, Saturday, there may be the 4 30-minute segments throughout the day. May start at 10, may end up at 4, 4:30, but 30 minutes throughout the day. There may be getting started with backyard poultry. There may be a 30-minute segment on brooding, on incubation, on coops, on predators, on feed, on nutrition. So we'll be doing that. 4 30-minute segments on Saturday, 4 30-minute segments on Sunday. So that also gives me a little bit of time to go and enjoy the bands and meet folks and spread the chicken love and head over to the poultry show and things like that. So it is absolutely an awesome event. It's this coming weekend, so we'll head out on Thursday and head out there for this weekend. We've got that event in Moulton, Alabama. We'll get back probably next Sunday or Monday and get that going. And then we'll be here again. We'll have to turn around, 2 or 3 days turnaround. And then next Thursday we'll be heading out for an event. Thank you very much. We'll be heading out to an event, and we'll be heading out to an event. Jim, can you come take care of this? I'm live. Next weekend we'll be heading out to Mobile, Alabama. I've been invited down there with the Mobile, Alabama book club and Master Gardeners. They've invited me down there to do a presentation. That's the next Saturday, the 20th. And so I know I'll be rolling in on Friday, and so I think I've been invited out Friday night for supper with the organizer of that event. Saturday all day is the event. I was actually invited out Saturday night for supper, but I told them we'll play it by ear based on how I'm feeling after the travel and the all-day event. And then on Sunday, there's a local poultry club there in Mobile, and we're doing actually a picnic. I've got a couple of spots there at the at a beautiful state park right there on the Gulf right there in Mobile. I believe it's technically called Fort, oh my gosh, what it is, Fort something. Anyway, so right there in the Mobile area, and we're heading out there, and they've rented the pavilion for Sunday afternoon. So Sunday afternoon, basically right after church and lunch, there's a Mobile poultry club. They've rented that pavilion, and we're all going to get together for a great covered dish there on Saturday afternoon. So, man, I got a lot of fun stuff coming up, a lot of hard work, but a lot of fun, a lot of traveling. I love to do it because I love to see all the chicken fans and friends out there and spreading the chicken love. So it's going to be an awesome event, but lots of traveling. And then in May, probably either late May or early June, probably somewhere between, I'd say, the last week in May and the first 2 weeks of June, somewhere in that area, first 3 weeks of June, we'll be heading out again on the second quarter Tractor Supply Power to the Poultry Tour. So we're not sure yet where we're going, possibly up into the Carolinas, eastern Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, maybe the south part of Virginia, West Virginia. So we're looking at doing another five-event tour with Tractor Supply for the second quarter, which will be late May or sometime before or around mid-June. So we're looking forward to that. So busy, busy time, fun time. Love spreading the chicken love all across the country and educating the folks. So big times here. Also want to make sure that you are collecting the secret passwords. We're right smack dab in the middle of an April chicken coop contest. Yes, we just gave away a chicken coop a couple of weeks ago, but how awesome was that? Live on the air, that was so cool. But we're actually doing another chicken coop contest for April. So if you aren't following us on Facebook, you need to do so. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. All the secret passwords are posted on Facebook. All the secret passwords are posted on Twitter. If you do Twitter and not Facebook, you can still participate, and that's where you're going to get the secret passwords. There'll be 30 secret passwords for the month of April. Why? Because there's 30 days in the month of April. This does include Saturday and Sunday. So the contest started on Monday, April 1st. The contest will technically end on Tuesday, April 30th. We will issue 30 secret passwords, one per day for the month of April. And then on May 1st, which is Wednesday, we will give away that awesome chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. This is a brand spanking new chicken coop. Nobody has seen this chicken coop. It is brand spanking new. It's kind of top secret right now. They're going to be releasing it hopefully this month in April. We'll be the first ones giving one away. It's going to be awesome. That'll be for this month, and so I don't even have pictures of it yet. So just know, be collecting those secret passwords, and you'll have a chance to actually win. Yes, just hold on for further instructions, but you want to collect the passwords. There'll be 30, one every day for the month of April. We'll give away the coop either on the 1st or 2nd of May to one lucky listener. So not only are you collecting those 30 passwords, but let me tell you, there is a secret puzzle embedded in those passwords. So we'll see if you can figure that out too, maybe for a bonus prize, or maybe we'll just include that and say you have to have all 30 passwords and decode the secret message within the password. So how cool is that? So be collecting those passwords, and we'll give you more information as time goes on, pictures of the actual coop that we'll be giving away from mypetchicken.com, and we'll be giving that away. So the important thing right now is collect those secret passwords. And yes, there will be a secret message embedded in the passwords. We'll see how many of you can figure that one out. That's going to be fun as well. So very cool, and glad to be able to bring you that chicken coop contest from mypetchicken.com. So that's a lot that's going on. Again, the travel schedule where you can come see me. I hope you can make it to the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival. It is a hoot. 25,000 folks, 20 bands, 3 stages, down on the farm section, rides for the kids, contests for the kids, games for the kids, food vendors, APA Poultry Show. It's going to be awesome. Hope you can attend. So, got a great show lined up for you today. Again, yesterday we were on the road trying to get back here to the homestead. And we had Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, has agreed to come on today, which is fabulous. He's, I think, going to wrap up his segment on supplements, and that'll be today. And then we may have a few questions we can get to as well. After he is done with that, if it's a shorter show, that is okay. Again, we are up to our eyeballs with things to do here at the homestead. The spring garden's not even in. We tilled this morning and around the potatoes and the onions, but I'm thinking maybe next week is when I can actually get all the big goodies in, like the tomatoes and the okra and the squash and the peppers and the corn and the everything else that we plant in the spring. So busy time. So it looks like I'm going to head over here to the switchboard, and we're going to bring on Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, and he can finish up here with the supplements. We'll take maybe a few questions from our Facebook page and maybe a few calls and a few questions from the chat room, and then that'll wrap up today's show. Definitely get those Chicken Whisperer notebooks out and take lots of notes from Peter Brown. Let's go ahead and give him a big welcome in the chat room and out there in Radio Land. Hey, Peter, thanks for joining us today. So glad you can make it.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm tired. I'm running around like a chicken with my, well, I think we all know how that ends up. But it's fun. You know, it's exciting and lots of travel and things like that. But you know as good as anybody that the road trips can be wearing, the packing, the unpacking, especially turning it around and doing the next show and the next show. But it's what we do. It's what we love. We love seeing folks just like you love to see your fans out there and answer questions.
Yeah.
And to keep their birds healthy, I know you're all about that. So you know what I'm talking about. It's a labor of love, but we love doing it. And we're great to have you on and to finish up talking about the supplements. That there's so many out there. We've talked about so many already. If you missed them, every radio show we've ever done is archived on blogtalkradio.com, iTunes.com. Some people use Zoom.com and podcast.com. You can find them at all those places and listen to the last few segments with Peter Brown if you're interested in, if you missed a spot regarding the supplements. We'll hopefully wrap that up today. So I'll turn it over to you, my friend, and we can get started.
Yeah. Just a quick note of I told you so. Not smart alecky wise, but not me. This bird flu thing going on over in China. I told
China,
you so.
Yeah.
I told you so. And this is what's scary about this. And we talked about avian influenza and all of the other ramifications of it. I'm not going to belabor the point here, but I think what's interesting to note here is this is a virus that we have not seen before, an H7N9, and also, we've not seen this thing jump so readily to people. Now, we've got, as of this morning when I checked, there were 24 infections, which is significant for something that is as dangerous as this can be. Not sounding the alarm buzzer here at all, but, you know, everybody does need to be careful. And they have 7 dead people out of this whole thing just from this this particular thing. An interesting thing to note about it, years ago, and I'd have to dig through my archives here in the office and find it, but there was a study done years ago by the, I want to say the American Racing Pigeon Union, but don't hold me to that, doesn't really matter. People that raced pigeons, because with the avian influenza that was around back in the 70s and stuff, and maybe the 80s, the issue was, you know, did they need to halt pigeon racing because of the fact that pigeons, you know, could be a vector for or a carrier for the avian influenza. And it was a study done, and I can't remember all of the rhyme and riddle of it. It's something I haven't looked at in years. But the study was found that they didn't carry it. The interesting thing about this H7N9 is that pigeons do carry it over there. So this is a bigger issue. I mean, pigeons are everywhere. Feral pigeons are, I don't know of a town or a city anywhere that doesn't have a group of feral pigeons flying around somewhere. So the implications and ramifications of this could be huge down the road. It's just time we'll have to tell and see how it plays out. But I just thought I'd throw that out there today, just keep people aware. More than ever, those that have not been practicing biosecurity probably need to get a plan of action going. There was, I think, on Facebook or some other place, I saw about this thing of coop tours and that kind of thing. I think it's a bad practice.
Yeah, I posted on that, and I saw there was a thing that came out, and I had posted on that actual thread, and just very, very generic, but just very, you know, I said, you know, I've been to many of these.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen a single one practice biosecurity. When we had the one in Atlanta, I sent out a memo to every single participant on the tour about the ramifications, the risks involved, how to, you know, practice good biosecurity on a coop tour.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've got 20 or 30 coops on this tour. People are going from coop to coop to coop to coop to coop. People are walking in the run, walking in the coop, stepping in poop, getting in their car, going, you know, 1 mile down the road, getting on their bicycle, going mile down the road, walking in the run, walking in the coop, maybe picking up the birds, the whole nine yards, 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and like I said, it may not have happened that we know of yet. It may not be a matter of if, but when, and somebody's going to lose an entire flock, or many of these folks on the tour could have, you know, their entire flock. And, you know, you say now, oh, the risks, or, oh, you got to pick your battles. That's fine until you lose all 15 of your birds dead as a doornail. Then you may have, then you may sing a different tune. I know it's not a perfect world, but yeah, I had sounded awful on that as well. Just very polite, very generic, just kind of the ramifications of, and there were a few people that were snippety back saying, oh, keep them going, they're fine, this, you know, chances are, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's kind of like when you talk to somebody that says, should you get your birds vaccinated? If you talk to somebody who's had a Merrick's outbreak and lost all theirs to this violent death, then they're like, oh, my God, absolutely. If you talk to someone who's never had a bad disease or a bad outbreak, they're like, I wouldn't worry about it. I've never had a problem. It's all relative. So one coop tour, hundreds of birds dead. Then the next tour might actually wake up a little bit and start practicing some biosecurity.
Yeah, you know, and look, from my perspective, I see it all the time, not necessarily the physical bird in front of me, but you'd be appalled at some of the pictures that I get sent from people. And I had one here recently, sent me a picture, and, you know, it was a bird that had severe case of scaly leg mites, and you know, my mind works different than a lot of other people's, and
yeah, we've known that for years.
and have a tendency sometimes to overthink things maybe a little bit, but anyway, this picture of this bird came through, and this was a while back, and it said, you know, this is my child's bird, and what's wrong with it? And I mean, it was immediate to me that the bird had a severe case of scaly leg mite. And then immediately, what pops into my mind is, and you have children too, you know. And you know, you can't take care of a damn chicken. How are you going to take care of, you know, children? So I mean, and there are probably people that argue that point nine ways from Sunday. But the issue is, and the main thing here about this, and this is not the subject today, but it's worthy of talking about, is that one person's perception of a bird or a flock that is healthy is totally different than the one down the road. And therein lies the caveat of this whole thing. The problem of this whole thing is, what are you dragging down the road as a possibility? You know, maybe today, like you said, maybe nothing. You know, you've heard me say before, right, you know, you can run out in front of the bus all day long, and every day you thumb your nose at the bus driver, he sees you and everything else, and then that one day, there's a little shift in the pavement, a little spot you didn't see, you didn't notice, and you catch your foot on it, you fall down, boom, you're hit by the bus. And that's when it happens, when you least expect it. And so it's worthy of talking about it, and it's worthy to bring it up again and again and again and again, and maybe some of the folks will get it, maybe some of them won't. And there are people that I know that claim they've never had a problem with a poultry disease ever, and that may be true, and then again, it may be mirrors and smoke. I don't know. I don't live on their farm, so I couldn't tell you. You have to accept it basically for what it is. And, you know, I even have people in my own club here that tell me the same thing. They never have a problem with a particular thing. You know, you feel them out, you know, trying to see what they're doing and you know, maybe even where they're buying their stuff from, you know, if they're not buying it from you, that kind of thing, you know. And the interesting part about it is, you know, then they say that they never have this particular problem, but then, you know, you find out later on that they come by and they say, well, you know, I ran out of such and such. Do you have any? And they forgot all about the story they told you the last time around. So everybody has their own take on it. A lot of people quiet about it, that they've got a problem, and that kind of thing. So anyway, for whatever it's worth, that's that's the take on it. I would certainly, especially in this day and age, a little biosecurity could go a long way for everybody, and they probably need to, you know, look into doing something along those lines. But at any rate, it is a problem, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, and I think you're going to see most of the stuff come out of, you know, Asia, Southeast Asia, and all those places over there. where they're living with them a little bit differently than we do over here.
Right.
Our subject today, I'm going to finish up a couple of things here. It shouldn't take all that long, hopefully. We'd left off before talking about supplements, vitamins, electrolytes, amino acids, that kind of thing, and kind of explained, you know, vitamins, organic compounds available basically in water-soluble, fat-soluble. I explained the fat-soluble being your A, D, and K, your water-soluble being all of the rest of them, all your B vitamins, vitamin C, B-complex, B12, all of those, biotin. And the major difference between the two is one is used by the bird in their body and excreted out in the droppings, and in that fashion, there isn't usually an over use or a downside to using the water solubles. The problem can and does occur, not that often, but can occur on the fat soluble side, where they're generally stored in the brain and predominantly in the liver. The more you give, the more they store. The more they store, the greater the opportunity for a vitamin toxicity type situation. So it can occur. That's why you shouldn't give vitamins, electrolytes every day. Every other day is fine. It depends on it's kind of like having a dog. And you have a dog who's 10 years old, and he lays at your feet 24/7, basically. And you have another dog that is 3 years old, and he's a working dog. You don't feed the two of them the same. You don't treat the two of them generally the same because of the activities that they do. So the same thing would apply here to the birds. If you've got fast-growing birds and you're raising up some broilers for harvest, you certainly want to make sure, you know, that they have everything that that they need. Doesn't mean you're feeding an inferior food. Doesn't mean you're not taking care of them. It's just that when birds grow so quickly, they need a lot more than meets the eye. All feeds are not created equal. Every feed manufacturer has a little bit different take on it. Whatever they think will sell today is what they'll put out on the market for the most part. So during times of stress, vaccination, moving, handling, a lot of people who show birds will put some vitamins, electrolytes in the water during the entire show. Some will put some medication in, which I'm not a big fan of. But and all of this is done to try to help ward off stress and that kind of thing. Birds have a tendency when they're under pressure not to eat. They may be hearing sounds that they don't normally hear all the time. If you've ever gone to some of these shows, it can be quite noisy. Between all the people moving around, the birds crowing, flapping, scratching, and if you're around anywhere near a call ducks, you'll certainly know what I mean. They never shut up. And so you've got, you know, the geese honking and the whole bit. Things that these birds have never heard before are all stressful to them. They're all stressed, and the part of it is you can hear it, but you can't necessarily see it, so that makes it even worse for some of the birds. And I seem to find, at least from my perspective, the smaller the bird, the worse the stress pattern seems to be. But that being said, you want to, you know, pick your places to use your supplements. I would certainly say that birds that are high producers, as far as egg production is concerned, I would supplement them with a good vitamin electrolyte compound, maybe even a good chelated mineral compound, depending on how well they're performing. Maybe even if they're not performing the way you want them to, sometimes it's the lack of any one of these things that can keep them from getting to the level that you need them to perform at, whether it be in the show arena or it be out on the farm just laying eggs or putting on weight or any of those things. So chelation, I mentioned that just a minute ago. A chelated product is a product that has been altered a little bit in the process of making the product up and attaching it to a readily absorbed amino acid. And what that means at the end of the day is that the bird doesn't have to break these minerals down they automatically get sucked into the system through the amino acid, and they become readily available within usually 24 to 48 hours. And those are the products. We've used them a few times here on the show, and we've had tremendous success with them, from behavioral problems right on down to feathering and egg laying. Egg binding is usually a lack of calcium in the bird's system. And I know I get people all the time call me, and they say, well, you know, I'm giving them oyster shell and this and that and the other thing. You have to understand that when you give a bird oyster shell, if they're eating it, and not all birds do, they can be picky, but when they do eat it, it has to be broken down in the system. And usually it'll hang out in the gizzard for a while and start to leach out the calcium and stuff that it needs from there. But the lack of phosphorus, the lack of sufficient vitamin D3 can make that whole process useless. Okay, this is like being at a three-way intersection, and the calcium starts to go into the intersection and stalls out because there's not enough D3 or not enough phosphorus on the other side to come together in the beginning and in the middle of this three-way intersection and make these products all come together and put down some eggshell. So, and this can happen with any of the vitamins, okay? A deficiency in one can cause a deficiency in several others. So just be aware of that fact, that supplementation, I am a fan of supplementation under the proper circumstances. Stress, that can be from heat, that can be from cold, lack of food, moving, handling, vaccination, production, whether it be for eggs, whether it be for meat, any of these types of things. During the molt is a great time to add supplements to the diet to help push the feathers out faster, make better feathers, and that kind of thing. So I just think that, you know, these are all good things to do and good for the bird and good for you from a monetary standpoint. You end up putting it into the bird, and they usually pay you back in either putting on weight for when you want to harvest the bird, or they put out more eggs for you either to sell or consume or whatever you want to do with them. The other thing that I wanted to talk about here was amino acids. It's something we kick around all the time, say amino acid this, amino acid that, and everything else. These are basically what I consider the building blocks of life. If you don't have them, you're not going anywhere, whether it be a chicken, a duck, a human, or a cow, or whatever. Every functioning or living organism that I'm aware of, mammal or so, needs amino acids. And without getting into it, it's an organic compound, similar to but not the same as vitamins. And basically, they break down into to two groups. One group is called the essential amino acids, and the other is called the non-essential. The non-essential amino acids, these are generally ones that the bird can get and make on its own. The essential ones are ones where they cannot be synthesized by the bird and have to be supplemented in the feed. Now, I'm no nutritionist, don't pretend to be one, and I don't want to go too deeply into it because I get over my head, but the main crux of this whole thing is that this proteins that the bird needs to put on muscle, enhance the other cells in its body, whether it be the intestinal tract or the immune cells, and all of these different things, all require amino acids as part of this protein complex. And when one of them is missing, again, the bus comes to a screeching halt. This may be part of the reason why we see birds that every now and then you'll get a bird that fails to thrive. And it could be a number of issues. It could be genetic. It could be the runt of the hatch, so to speak. It can be one that doesn't get the food and water like it should. even though it's right in front of us sometimes, they just don't seem to have the common sense to say, okay, put my head in the water, get a drink, put my mouth in the food over here and get some food, and off we go. So for some reason, they just don't do that. So you get what we call a failure to thrive. Diseases can do the same thing, a failure to thrive. Coccidiosis is probably the biggest culprit out there. So that kind of thing, where these amino acid compounds are extremely important, and we've seen that too. We've put the VitaPro vitamins with the A-Lite amino acid compound together. It's part of the emergency kit, along with the Replimin liquid with iron, and you put these things together, some vitamin A, D, and E powder together in the water, and things generally turn around very, very quickly. The Replimin liquid being the chelated group of just trace minerals, little things that could be missing from the recipe to make a bird perform up to its expectations, whether that be egg production or whether that be putting on weight for the pot, or just even putting on good feathers and a nice shiny feather for the show arena as well. So these things are important. I've been looking into, because it always irritates me when we have birds that we're trying to save, but they don't want to eat. You can put anything you want in front of them, and they just don't seem to want to eat no matter what you do. You can tube feed them, but they still don't generally come around. We still have problems with birds that even after they're tube fed for quite a while, they just don't seem to pick it up. They just don't. So I've kind of looked into this a little bit, and I've been doing this over a period of time, as time allows me, which it doesn't always allow me a whole lot of time. But and we talked about this some when we talked about all the different systems of the bird. We did this, I think, last year. We talked about the intestines. We talked about the hypothalamus. We talked about the Hodarian gland and so on. But the hypothalamus controls appetite. So I've been looking into things that we could do to possibly stimulate the hypothalamus, and I've got other things that I'm working on. But as it stands right now, a combination of thiamine, and which is a B vitamin, B1, and B12 may be part of the answer to stimulate the hypothalamus to kickstart the eating process. And this is just something that I've come up with on my own through reading a bunch of research stuff and this and that and what makes this work and that and everything else. So I thought I'd just share that, and I will be stocking here this summer some injectable thiamine, and we always have the B12, but we will be looking into playing around with some of these things and maybe offering some of it free to get some response from folks to see just what's going on. So if we can, if indeed the pathways are being impaired by Marek's or some other neurological disorder or something along those lines, you could probably give all the B12 and thiamine you want and you won't get anywhere. But we'll also be looking at melatonin and a few other things that we're trying to look at on this end to see if we can get a package put together and say, hey, this may do some good for you, so let's see where it goes. Because we've had tremendous success and continuing to have tremendous success with the oil of oregano as a natural antibiotic, both for the gut and topically. It seems to be doing very well. We now have an ear infection up there in New York that was out of control and very hard to control with antibiotics, and we've been fighting it for well over a year, and now seems to be at least under control by using these things. So we're turning the boat around a little bit on these kinds of things, and it's important, at least to me, to try to because I look at it as my job to fix these things as best that I can. Getting back quick to the amino acids, there's just not that it's overly important to anybody, but there's about 22 of them, 13 of which are what we call the essentials, and the 9 non-essential, which is synthesized by the bird. and no need to even try to begin to remember the names because they all have odd names. But they are one dependent upon the other, and pretty much like vitamins, the lack of one can tie up others, and then the protein won't be absorbed. And as far as the bird is concerned, digestive-wise, and then they start to have these failure-to-thrive type problems even in the adult birds. So just be aware that the amino acids as to what they are, and they're considered the building blocks of life, whether you be human or otherwise. And one other thing I want to mention here, as I've had this question come up before, the calcium to phosphorus ratio generally is 2-to-1. Okay, so let's say 2 parts to 1 part. A part is any equal measurement that you want to use. So just for argument's sake here, 2 teaspoons of calcium to 1 teaspoon of phosphorus. Okay, I'm just laying that out for, that's not the way it would be done, but I'm just trying to give you a ratio, an idea. Of generally what you would see. For laying type chickens that are in production, and in production only, you wouldn't want to do this as pullets, and I'll explain that in a minute. But usually you look for a ration that's going to have 2.5% to 3.5%, anywhere in between there, of the percent of calcium in the laying mash. Growing birds don't need that kind of calcium. And in growing birds, you're going to look for between 1.2 and 1.5% calcium. Okay, to use more calcium or to use a laying mash on growing birds is not acceptable under any circumstances unless they are just about, and I mean just about, ready to lay eggs, because the excess calcium, they have problems excreting it and breaking it down the way it's supposed to be broken down. And it can cause irreparable kidney damage. So that's why we don't, you know, raise it up. You would think that growing birds like that might need a little bit more, but just the contrary is true. If you remember from previous shows or whatever, we've talked about what a monumental undertaking it is for a chicken just to lay an egg. It's huge. It's a big deal. Mobilizing at least 50% of the calcium in its body on a daily basis, they need it. And they need it in an available form. They can't have this stuff tied up. That's why you start seeing these rubber eggs, you know, and soft-shelled eggs and thin-shelled eggs. There is a problem between the calcium-phosphorus vitamin D3 ratio there that's out of whack. Why it's out of whack, I couldn't tell you, you know. But I can tell you by supplementing those things, you usually can get it straightened out. A word about egg binding. From my own standpoint, I think egg binding is not as prevalent as people think it is. It happens, but I think that more from my perspective, from what I see, I know there are people that argue the point and say, well, I see this, that. That's fine. That's what you see. But from my perspective, over the course of my career, I have seen more internal egg laying than I have ever seen egg binding. And egg binding is generally caused by a lack of calcium. It can be a hormonal problem. It can be an egg that doesn't want to come down the oviduct the way it's supposed to and come out large end first. So, that can be a problem there. But we do see a lot of them laying eggs into the body cavity. Now, you can have a bird that has an egg that is stuck for a while in the oviduct, and that certainly would be a bird that is egg-bound. And on occasion, more than you'd like to think, we see this reverse peristalsis where, for whatever reason, hormonally or otherwise, the muscles back that egg up and drop it right back in the body cavity. Many times I've opened up birds, and there they are, just sitting there one after another. And, they can't live like that, obviously. Sometimes if the eggs are small enough, the body will try to wall it off and calcify it, and they can live for long, long periods of time in a situation like that. But I wanted to point it out because I've been into it a couple of times this week, and it turns out to be birds that were internal layers. And we've talked about that before. Very difficult,
yeah.
You know, to stop. You've got to try to make them stop laying. It's a long, drawn-out deal, and sometimes not always successful with it. We do the same thing with prolapse. Try to get them to stop laying eggs. Try to get that oviduct to go back into place, to shrink back, and hopefully that it won't occur again. But again, the prolapse, generally, two basic things that cause the prolapse, and that can be too large an egg for the body size that the bird has, and that can be caused by improper growth, making the bird grow too fast so that the proper body structure isn't in place. Also, birds that are too fat get too much carbohydrate and not enough of the fat-based, protein-based side of the feed. And that's why, again, we talk about a complete feed, why you shouldn't feed all the treats that people have a tendency to.
If I could stop you right there, since we're talking about the complete feed and how important that is, not scratch, but a good nutritionally balanced feed.
Yep.
Had a question actually in the chat room early on about, I think the question was, they had just switched feeds. How can they tell if it is a completely nutritious or nutritionally balanced feed for her chickens?
Okay, well, that's not too hard. You're going to want to read the label that comes with it. Nobody hardly ever reads them that I know of.
Everybody
throws them away, or they're laying all over the place in the feed room. Or, and that's the thing. It's an assumption that when you buy it, you know, that it is a complete feed. I would say to anybody that if you're buying a starter feed, or you're buying a grower feed or a layer feed or any of those things, those are going to be complete feeds these days. I only throw that term out, complete feed, because there are people that think that scratch is complete feed. We've also had, I believe, one on the show here one time that was just feeding cracked corn or whole corn, and that by far is not a complete feed. So, read the feed tag, and the feed tag will tell you what the protein is, what the crude protein is, and go right down the whole list of ingredients. Everything that's basically in there has to be listed as as I believe it's a percentage. Don't get me wrong, I'm not an expert on this, but on the feed tag part of it there, and. But it should be all right there, and all of them use a vitamin mineral pack. So once they mix the soybeans, the corn, and everything else, whatever else is going into it, as far as a grain is concerned, then they'll take these vitamin packs and they put them in there, and those have all of the extra amino acids that are necessary. Methionine happens to be one that is a extreme essential. And you'll see sometimes even the non-essentials will be fortified in a diet. And the reasoning behind this and the thinking behind it is that if for whatever reason the bird is not synthesizing enough of it its own, it'll already be there. And so it is that important in order to keep production up. That's why lots of times we see production fall off when people start giving all these different treats and this and that, because of the fact that you start to run out of these things. It's kind of like, wanting to go 500 miles and put $2 worth of gas in the tank. You know, you're not going to go very far, and then it runs out. And the same thing here. Here, between vitamins and minerals and amino acids and protein and stuff, when something is missing, the puzzle doesn't come together, and the whole thing doesn't gel, so things start backing up from there. As the longer a vitamin, a mineral, or an amino acid is missing from the equation, the worse the problem gets with other things then, because then the other things either can't be broken down and used, and it just keeps backing up and backing up, so the situation gets worse. Mm-hmm. We've seen birds that for whatever reason, that stopped eating, that their toes start to curl. And the reason for that is, you know, that's a B vitamin. They're being excreted. It's not eating. So now it's going to take all of the vitamins it can out of its body. And when it runs out of the thymen, guess what happens? They start to curl. The feathers start to look like garbage. The whole bird just goes downhill until you're able to turn it around, if you are able to turn it around. But, you know, even you...
How about the calcium and the phosphorus as far as the feed goes?
Well, it should tell you... I'm not sure what it's going to tell you as far as the phosphorus. It should be on the label somewhere around here. Far be it from me to find it right at this moment. I've been cleaning this office, but that's a chore and a half. I've thrown away so much stuff, and it looks like I haven't done anything. It's just unbelievable, but we're getting there.
I totally understand.
But the calcium will show up on there as a percentage. That much I do know.
Okay.
As I've just recently did look at a bag of feed that, I think it was over at Tractor Supply looking for something else. Just happened to stop by. I don't even know what made me look at the bag. But it should be, the calcium should be somewhere between, for a laying mash anyway, 2.5 to 3.5%, somewhere in that range it should fall. But by and large today, if you're buying one of the, for lack of a better word, better brands. So if you're buying, you know, one of the more well-known brands, Nutrina or Purina or Blue Seal or, you know, and I don't even know if these I don't get too much into that particular side of it, who's got what and everything else. They change up
right.
So much and you know, they're only trying to do, you know, what every other company in America tries to do is give the people what they want. It may not necessarily always be the best thing to have, but it'll be what the people want. You know, I thought about this the other day about you know, medicines and everything else, and you know why do we have, you know, all of these different medicines and stuff? It's because, you know, nobody takes care of themselves, so we need all these other things to to take care of it. It's just kind of an interesting thing. I saw that, I saw an advertisement for these calcium products and stuff and everything else. I'm saying to myself, well, you know, maybe if we just ate a little bit better, wouldn't need all this other stuff. But see, and then we want to be damn and belittle the company that made it when there's a problem with it, you say, or it doesn't work the way it's supposed to work or whatever. But, I wanted to say this out, and I'll be shut up and be done.
I've got a couple of more questions.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, whatever time it takes, don't matter to me. I'm not going anywhere. This is both on the human side and the chicken side. You know, we've been studying and talking about how gut health and probiotics and all of these things. Two big stories from the health side from humans. One's a probiotic, and I may have mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. There's a company out of Canada that has a probiotic called Lactobacillus reuteri, I believe it is, and it's got a double-blind study pushing it, more than one, and it's going to be over the counter. It's got FDA approval as generally regarded as safe, GRAS, GRAS, and this can lower your blood cholesterol level on average. There were several different tests. Some had better numbers than others, but it really doesn't matter. Just under 12% by taking this natural product that's out there. And so I think that's a huge, huge breakthrough for people who have trouble with their cholesterol, who have tried the diet and or still dieting and still not getting where they want to go. What it does is it binds with the cholesterol in the intestine. It doesn't let it be absorbed, so it's kind of an interesting thing. And the other is a study out of the Cleveland Clinic just recently, and this has to do with those people that eat a lot of red meat. And one of the constituents, and again, this is right up the alley of what we're talking about here, amino acids, one of the amino acids in that meat is L-carnitine. And it seems as though a bacteria that's available in the gut appeared to be most of the people that are eating red meat eaters. It was not available and did not have a problem in people who were vegan, okay, in this particular test. This was a study of about 2,600 people, so that's sizable. And what they found was that there is a yet unidentified bacteria that digests this into a product called TMAO and dramatically increases your susceptibility to heart disease. So it's very, very interesting information. And, you know, the Cleveland Clinic has, got a good reputation for research and these kinds of things. So that's an important thing. And, again, we're going back talking about gut health. This is a bacteria that, for whatever reason, seems to be available in the intestine of people who are eating more red meat than they do anything else. Now, the L-carnitine, which is part of this puzzle here, is higher in your red meat, somewhat high in your fish, and at very low levels in your chicken and your turkey. So it makes a case for moving away from, at least for those who are maybe interested in, so of limiting or eliminating the amount of red meat they eat. And this all goes back to what we were talking about in chicken, gut health. That's what we were talking about, and we'll continue to talk about, because it's still an evolving story from my perspective. I've got a ton of things we'll get to talk about down the road about gut health and so on and so forth. But the we talked about the chicken and having the immune cells 60-70% of lie within the intestinal tract, and it's also in humans. The gut is considered the second brain, direct communication with the brain. And we know that in certain cases of schizophrenia that they do not have the same gut microbiota or the same amount of types of bacteria in their intestine that you and I have, and that's thought, and there is credible evidence to show that those bacteria can cause mental illness. I think it's a huge breakthrough, and you know, a lot of these things can be fixed but through dietary changes, probiotics, and that kind of stuff. So it's interesting. It's exciting times. It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Awesome. The other question here, get back over here to the chat room. See if I can find it over here. This would be interesting because, you know, you have been known to quote that treats are for the owner of the birds, not necessarily the birds. We know what you mean when you say that. But a lot of people, you know, you'll use their birds as composters to eliminate a lot of that food waste going into the landfill and biomass and things like that. And, you know, they'll still feed a natural, you know, a balanced feed. Nutritionally balanced feed, but they'll supplement with some food scraps, and of course we know people regarding the treats. So the question in the chat room was, somebody has started raising mealworms, and they've got quite a bit of them, and they were wondering if you could recommend, she wants to use them or give them to her chickens as, I guess, a source of protein. Is there any way you can recommend, or again, this may be me, but her question is, how many is too many, or how, you know, she wants to know about how many she can give, say, each bird on a regular basis, a daily basis, every other day. What would you recommend regarding that? She's breeding her own mealworms, if you will, raising her own, so she has plenty of them for her birds. I know this young lady takes impeccable care of her birds, but she was just wondering, she didn't want to do the wrong thing. So is there a right and a wrong, or an amount that would be good or bad to give to supplement?
Okay. That's a good question. Just let me say this, you know, lots of times, you know, as we talk here on the show and everything else, sounds like that I may be thinking that everybody does everything wrong. Not so. There are a lot of folks out there that do a tremendous job of raising their birds, spend the time, the effort, and in many cases the money to do it right. And it doesn't mean that they won't have a problem down the road. They will generally have less problems than somebody, obviously, who is not, you know, paying the same amount of attention. But the answer to her question is a tough one, to give a you know, an absolute answer. But here is a rule of thumb that I would apply and intend to apply to the flock that I'm going to be having here with Tammy here fairly soon. And we're almost finished with the Taj Mahal, and hopefully be putting the finishing touches on some of these things this weekend. Right. You just caught on to that, did you?
Yeah.
But I would say, because these are very nutritious treats. These things are going to be packed with a lot of vitamins and protein and minerals and that type of thing. I'd probably give them, if they were mine, I would probably give them all they could eat in about 15 to 20 minutes tops,
mm-hmm.
and no more, once a day. Okay, because the problem with it is, and I would make sure. You know, just be cognizant of the fact, you know, you're watching them, you're looking at what they're doing and everything else, and if you start to see them not consuming their normal food, because that's where it's at, their normal diet, you know, that's where they're going to get everything that they need to produce and be happy and be healthy. So you just, if you're cognizant of that, watching for it, and you don't allow that to happen, I don't see any problem with 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. And you know, you can control what you give them. You know, it shouldn't be a big deal. But that's what I would do, and I think it's a great thing. You know, to go through the time and effort and trouble to do that. You know, to grow them and so on. I think that's cool, and I would much rather see that than a handful of scratch.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, or just you know, putting, because they, you know, we all know they'll home in on what they like, and. They often do that, and I've seen many a bird with cataracts and other abnormalities. I have another client who actually has a veterinarian who takes care of the birds, and they all missed the boat. Okay,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The bird is not being kept nutritionally up. The bird has more treats than I've ever kept in my home in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's this is a person who has the time, effort, and money to do all of this, and these are house birds. These birds stay in the house for the most part. They go out a couple hours during the day out in the backyard and whatever, and they're watched and that kind of thing. But they come in, they sleep at night in the house, they stay in the house, and that kind of thing. So, you know, you end up killing them with kindness, so to speak, and that's what you want to avoid. So these birds were mine, 15, 20 minutes a day, all they can eat. When they're done with the 15, 20 minutes is done, you pull them away, and that's it, done. And
she may be surprised. She may, after 10 minutes, they may lose interest and go on and start scratching for grass and bugs and other things.
Exactly. Or another thing that she could do, bring that up, okay, instead of just sitting there feeding them to them, she could sprinkle them around, could let the birds follow around a little bit, and then to make them work for it a little bit. Same time,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then after 15, 20 minutes, knock it off and go on with it. And I think you'll get away from them homing in on it, and maybe even break it up and don't do it at the same time of day.
Right, right, yeah.
Because they're smarter than the average bear. Trust me, they will do that. They'll home in on it and.
Oh yeah, you hear stories about folks coming home, and as soon as they get home from work, 5:30, 6 o'clock, they go in, they get those treats, and they'll come home, and there'll be a flock of birds pecking at their back door,
yeah.
or on the, sitting and pooping on their patio waiting for that 5 o'clock treat.
Yeah, and I want to say that, you know, look, they're therapeutic. That's why we do this, lots of us, you know. I mean, for me, the therapeutic side for me, for my brain, is making things work out so everything's okay at the end of the day. That's what's in it for me. And that's the part of it that I enjoy. I thrive on that. Trying to take something that is difficult to fix and fix it. And so, you know, like I've said before, you know, there's nothing like coming home, sitting on a rocking chair on the porch or a bucket in the yard, and watching the antics of your chickens. And I don't care what happened during the day. For the most part, it'll bring a smile to your face somewhere along the line.
Absolutely.
And they always come through. And they're always there. So, you know, from my perspective, it's a pretty cool thing to have chickens. And I think that, you know, like I said, I don't want to belabor the point, but, you know, 15, 20 minutes, that's what I would do. I think that's enough. and because those things are packed with protein and vitamins and minerals and a whole bit. That's I don't think you can get any better than that. That's a pretty good deal.
Good deal. Three more, and we can we'll wrap it up. Lynette, I've already kind of touched on this today. For sure, you mentioned it, but her question is: can head shaking be due to lack of vitamins? The ears are fine. I've inspected them. There's no bugs present in her ears. It's a silky. Wondering if she may be trying to see over her head poof, as she calls it. But she just could head shaking be due to lack of vitamins? That's all I've got. I don't know
okay.
if it's more crook neck or a crook neck or twist neck or if it's just head shaking. If she's shaking like she's trying to get snot out of her nose like we've seen, or shaking stuff out of her mouth or trying to clear her throat when they shake their head. That's all I've got. Head shaking could be lack of vitamins.
It could be, but I would look
more info.
Yeah, I would say it would be more remote, but it wouldn't surprise me. Not so much a vitamin deficiency with a silky, but they have their own quirky little abnormalities, and it's hard to say. I think if it's a concern for this particular person, I think that there's one way to find out. That's to get some vitamin A, D, and E powder and put a little bit in the water and run it for a few days and see if it makes any difference. You could also, observe the bird real, real close and see if it is just the crest on the head that is annoying it. Is there something getting, is a feather getting in its eye, too close to the eye, that kind of thing. The best time to listen, and if they have any kind of breathing abnormalities, is that after they go to roost, after it's dark and everybody's quiet. Just go in the coop and open the door. You don't need a flashlight. Just close the door and just stand there. Let them all settle back down and listen. And if there's anything going on respiratory-wise, you'll start to hear it. You'll hear the sneezing, the snicking, and what have you. And, then you can take your flashlight and kind of home in on who it is and see what's going on. head shaking, muscular incoordination comes with a vitamin A deficiency. It's possible. Crazier things have happened for sure. But I just when it comes down to silkies, I get these calls and emails on a daily basis. And I'll tell you something else I would probably try with this bird, just in case it is one of those silky abnormalities, and that is to go down to the health food store and get some curcumin capsules or tablets potentiated with the bioperine or piperine, either one, and something around 900 milligrams plus, and give two or three a day and see if that makes any difference. It's a great anti-inflammatory as well. We've had some success here with this. It was a gal who sent me an email or something. I can't remember where they got it off Facebook or where it came from. But had a bird that was, down on its legs, sitting on its haunches, toes curled and everything else. And I told her what to do. And last count, early last week, the bird was up and standing and acting normal again. So it can happen. The main thing with all of these things, and I've said this before, is that any of these abnormalities, the quicker you catch it and get on it and do something about it, the better your chances are to solve it. And that goes for human or otherwise. So I think that, if that bird were mine, the one with the head shaking thing here, I think I'd try the curcumin and the bioperine. And, after 4, 5, 6 days, if it doesn't do anything, that's not it. And you could always go and do the vitamin A thing. If you look at the vitamin A, D, and E, it's all basically three of the basic four fat solubles, and run that for a little bit and see what happens.
Sounds good. We've got one here. This is a hoot. Bridget asks that, or she says that all my chickens respond to baloney when training. So I'm guessing they love Oscar Mayer. So yes. So and we know how good bologna is for humans. So, but all my chickens respond to bologna when training. Any other suggestions? They didn't like the mealworms at all.
So what she's trying to train her chickens to do, no clue. But apparently they love bologna, and but they didn't like the mealworm. So I'm just going to ask that one to you wide open. Any other things she might be able to try? We know how much we dislike scratch when it comes to, you know, treat or anything for that matter. But we know that they, for most part, chickens love scratch because it's like that Snickers bar for a 8-year-old. So, you know, I can throw that out there for her. Maybe get a little 10-pound bag of scratch at your Tractor Supply. If you're, I don't know what you're training them to do or try to get training them to do, but you can try that, I guess, as long as you use it very sparingly or for training purposes only. But what say you, Doc?
Well, I'll tell you, I think I'd go the other way. The birds respond, you know, as a general rule, to a lot of different things, as we all know, some good, some bad. If you're trying to stay more on something that would be healthier.
I don't know if that's the case. She's giving bologna right now.
Yeah. Well, I think, at least the way I'm reading this thing, unless I'm wrong, is that she's asking, is there something that she could use besides the bologna? Now, that could be a cost factor.
Okay, right.
But let's look at it as she's looking for a healthier alternative. How's that? And a piece of apple, a piece of banana, a piece of melon, a grape, any of those things that they happen to like would be a good training aid. In my opinion.
I wonder if anybody out there has a chicken that does not like watermelon. I think that would just be, that would be, I'd like to meet that chicken one day, or see a video or a YouTube of you dropping a slice of watermelon in the coop and the chicken turning its beak up at it.
Yeah.
I would love to meet that bird.
Yeah, I've never seen one that didn't like it. In all honesty, and I've seen, you know, loads of them, they seem to go right after that type of a thing. You know, I mean, even tomato. They love tomato. So, you know, I think if you want to get away from the bologna, I think that any of those things, a grape, you know, piece of apple, piece of banana, any of those types of things, piece of melon, you know, I think that, you know, that they would go you know, and do whatever you wanted them to do, and then you rewarded them with things. Because that's what I'm assuming that's trying to do, train them to do something. I think those would be great training aids, and it would be
good deal.
Be healthy all the way around there, as far as I could see.
And, folks, that is no baloney. So you heard it right there from the chick. Okay, and then we'll wrap it up with this one. This will be the last one. Where to go? Okay, and we've already talked about this, but she's going to be listening to the archive show. Susan here talked about it a little bit. I know in past episodes talked about it, delay, about the huge task it is to lay an egg. But here's maybe a unique situation or not, something I think we a lot of times we all see if we have a flock of 10, 15, or 20 birds. Susan says, I have one hen who is laying eggs with soft shells. All the other hens are laying them with nice hard shells. I feed oyster shells, and they're in their regular feed. Why is she the only one with soft shells? So she's got, I don't know how many she has, but she does state that all of her other birds' shells are perfect the way they should be, and she's got one hen that's laying eggs that just, they have shells, they're just soft shells. She's happens to be adding the oyster feed into their food versus free choice. So what say you on that one, and we'll wrap it up with this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to say by just putting my finger on and say, well, it's this, that, or the other, but it's a combination of things more than likely. Hang on a minute. Somebody calling me on another phone. I have to go somewhere else. Anyway, sorry about that.
No worries.
The situation there is that this could have been from a injury to the intestinal tract. Again, we go back to talking about that good gut health. This is a gut health issue. Now, how that got that way, did the bird have coccidiosis at one point in time? If it didn't have that, this could be just a thing where this particular bird is not eating properly, too many treats, too many other things that she is eating. Especially if they're free range. Okay, we see lots of times with with free-range birds that while they lay eggs and everything else, they do, if they're really prolific layers sometimes. This is breed-related. This is genetic. So there's a whole lot of issues that come into it here. And because the others are doing well and this one isn't doing well, it's going to be my interpretation that this particular bird has some sort of an inability to synthesize and absorb and break down the calcium, phosphorus, vitamin D3 that she needs on a daily basis to put down a good shell. Because that's where it's basically at. Whether that was caused by some sort of damage to her intestine or something, I can't say. But it wouldn't seem to me like it would be because of the fact that everybody else is okay. You know, just using that as a marker or a parameter for this. So I would just look to supplement her diet. That's, again, this goes back to what this whole conversation has been about over the last two shows, and that is when to supplement, why I'm going to be supplementing, and how I'm going to supplement, and with what. And the easiest way to do it is in the drinking water, and it's basically painless, and everybody can have it. It's not like you got to isolate one bird. This is going to be good for everybody. It should make everybody else's shells even stronger yet, and help keep them in production longer as well. So that's generally what the problem is. I've seen it before. I've seen this on a flock basis on the commercial side, where a particular strain of birds years back had some feed that was marginal in calcium, phosphorus, vitamin D3, and their ability, this particular group of birds, to absorb what was in the feed but was insufficient in the feed caused them to have rickets, and you could, on the post-mortem, you could see it, the rib cages, you could see where they were broken and refixed, and you get a little beating of the rib cage should be smooth going up, and you see this little ball of calcium, and that's where the rib was broken and kind of welded, so to speak. And so these things do occur, and if that bird were mine, I would just supplement the entire flock, and I think that they'll probably see it go away.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and it's something I think we've all anybody who I think has backyard chickens has probably dealt with either the no-shell egg on the occasion sitting on the coop floor or the nest box or again the soft-shell eggs.
Yeah.
Do you have any preference, Doc, just personally with your years of experience? Because you hear 6-12, half dozen the other, if you're going to give the oyster shell, adding it to their food or giving it free choice, or maybe when you see that you have issues, giving it to them, and then once the issues are cleared up, taking it away. Because there's really three options there: mixing it in their food all the time as a regimen, or just giving it free choice to them, or when you see you have issues, giving it, when the issue clears up, take it away. I know there's at least three ways that people I've heard and seen do the oyster shell.
I prefer the free choice because it's generally assumed, and I've not seen the research on it, but that birds that are becoming deficient in it will seek it out. And if it's there and they know it's there, they'll go to it. Now, here's another thought that comes to mind as as we talk about this. The quality of the calcium being put into the feed, is that in a fashion that some birds can break down? Generally, these days, they don't use oyster shell. They use limestone. And it just depends on how well that's going to be breaking down, within the bird system. Again, we go back to individuals, some people can eat wheat, some can't, and, for various different reasons. The issue is how does this all come about? It's a very complex, situation. We talked about, how much calcium it really takes, to put that shell down. And obviously she's not got the calcium to do that. Or, again, we're at that three-way junction, and there's enough calcium there, but it can't be released because there's not enough phosphorus and vitamin D3, or one and or all three of them are deficient to an extent. So it's an interesting issue, and how you solve it with this one bird is you just go ahead and you supplement it and get it over with. In actuality, then you'll have another good egg to eat. And also with the rubber eggs, as you well know, once that egg ends up broken, you have to start with the egg eating problem too. That invites back.
Yeah.
You know, so one bad thing becomes two bad things. So again, when birds are laying eggs and you're expecting to lay eggs every day, supplementation does not hurt. If you've got a flock that is non-producing and you don't care whether they produce eggs for you to eat or whatever, I don't think I would supplement. I don't think I'd waste the time and the money. It's not going to be a big deal.
One last question, because it just popped up, and I think it's a very good one. Actually, the question is, are eggshells a good source of calcium, meaning for the chickens? So feeding the eggshells back to the chickens, maybe making them unrecognizable to them as an egg so they don't maybe pick up that egg-eating habit.
Yeah.
I've heard people actually, when they use eggs for human consumption, they'll take the shells. I've heard them roasting them in the oven and then, you know, crunching them up very fine and giving them back, or however they do that so they don't really resemble an egg. Is that a good way to get the calcium back to the chickens?
It's an excellent way to give the calcium back to the chickens, but you don't want to ever use them when they're wet. You want to make sure, that there's no moisture left on the outside or inside of the shell that you're using, and pulverize them up and feed them back to them. I don't see a problem with that whatsoever.
Gotcha. Very good.
You know, there are people that think that, you know, that's going to entice them to eat eggs. I don't think so. I've never seen any credible research to prove that. There's a whole lot of research around over the years, nothing recent that I've seen, but over the years, you know, that would point to putting the eggshells back. As long as, see, there's a couple of problems. If you're just throwing them out there and they're let's say you had eggs this morning, you had a big bunch of people over, and you took a dozen eggs and you cracked them all open, and you got all these shells, and just tossing them out isn't a big deal until they start laying around and they're wet and the albumin that's still left inside is a growth-rich nutrient that will grow bacteria pretty readily. So as long as you're mitigating that, taking it out of the situation, there's no problem giving it back to them, none whatsoever.
Super. Awesome. That's a lot of great information and a lot of great questions today from our fans and listeners, both on
I enjoy
and
it.
The chat room. So we appreciate that. I know Peter's always glad to answer those. As we wrapped up today, the supplement topic after the last few episodes of that. So we'll look forward to a new topic next Monday and at 12 o'clock. Peter joins us every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for a great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor. And you can visit him online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. And you can take a look at a lot of the items you talked about today, including the emergency medicine kit, $24.95. Can't beat that with a stick. And great to have on hand with your first aid kit, because so many times, in fact, Peter said it in the last episode, and he said it many times, when people call him to try to get some advice through a consultation about a sick bird or injured bird, he often, or every time, he'll say, okay, let's start off, what do you have on hand right now that we can use? And more times than not, the answer is nothing. So it's good and important to have not just first aid for injury, but also some of the emergency medicine kit. It'll have a lot of things you'll need for a lot of things that can come up until you can so you can start treating and then diagnose and treat and then order more, so you're not, you know, having to hold on to a bunch of stuff that may have an expiration date. You've got just what you need to get started and buy more as needed. So it makes sense all the way around. So that's firststatevetsupply.com. Peter, thank you very much for joining us as always.
My pleasure.
Every Monday. We'll see you next Monday. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too, Andy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Thank you.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com. Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, folks, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Great special guest segment with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Please visit him online at firststatevetsupply.com. Also, later today, sometime before midnight tonight, Eastern Standard Time, we will post the number nine secret password for our current chicken coop contest brought to you by mypetchicken.com. One of you is going to win a brand new, newly designed, fresh off the market, nobody else has one on the planet, chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. This is top secret. No pictures of this exist, and we will be continuing to give you information about this contest as it goes on. But the bottom line is, collect those secret passwords we're posting on Facebook and Twitter. We post it on Facebook. It automatically posts on our Twitter page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer, and over at Twitter at Backyard Poultry. Go and join us there and collect those secret passwords for your chance to win an awesome new chicken coop. And also within the passwords that you're collecting, there's a secret code or a secret message, so you can see if you can try to figure that one out as well. So how awesome is that? We hope you can tune in tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer on Blog Talk Radio, as we're approaching our 800th episode within 5 years of broadcasting. So monumental mark coming up this week. So we'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. God bless.
Oh.